do you call that? Smorgasbord? I got kind of a smorgasbord of verses today, and hopefully it'll be clear to you as we go along. I don't know. I don't want to read all of it. So I'll just read the second section there, and then we'll cover all of them. If you're physically able, would you stand and read God's word in your hearing, and then we'll try to come back and put all the smorgasbord together and see if God can help us to benefit. Genesis 8 and verse 11, and it says, "And the dove came back to him in the evening, and behold, in her mouth was a freshly plucked olive leaf. So Noah knew that the waters had subsided from the earth. Then he waited another 7 days and sent forth the dove, and she did not return to him anymore. In the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried from off the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry." Lord, we love you today. And we confess in this place that the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. You, Lord, are the one that's worthy of the praise of our lips. And so we praise you today. We love you, Lord Jesus. You have brought us into the sphere of love. You've introduced us to love, and for this we'll be eternally grateful. We love because you first loved us, and so now we need you. As we heard earlier today, you are the good shepherd, and in the words of David, the Lord is my shepherd. And so for each one here, Lord, that each one of your sheep, we say we need you to guide us now. Guide us in your word. It's your word, Lord, and you know how to guide us through. So lead us so that we might cut a good path, a straight path in the scriptures, and may it be for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we're continuing on with this subject matter of what do you see? You remember we started it last week. And what I said to you is that there are times that God has to call people's attention to what's important, because people get busy in life, and you know how that is. We don't have to be so critical of people that we read about in the scriptures. They were busy, but we're busy too, yes? And so there are times that God has to call people's attention to things that are important. And we saw last week, as we began to look at this, that he uses words like behold or look to get people's attention. And in the Hebrew is the word hene, with a long E, H-I-N-N-E-H, with a long E. And it means to look or to see, or it also means to emphasize, to point out something, or to emphasize something or someone. And so keep that in mind, because that's really what has kind of plotted my journey through the scriptures. We're tracing this word behold, hene. Why? Because God is pointing out important things that he didn't want the people he was writing to forget and to miss. And you and I get the privilege, the blessing of reading the Bible and seeing those same things that he does not want us to what? To miss. So that's my heart's desire as we kind of work our way through just a few. It's going to be, as I said, it's a smorgasbord. We're not going to try to cover every place hene is used, or even when we move into the New Testament, the word behold is used. But I want to get enough of it for you to get the sense that as you're reading your Bible and God says behold, you need to stop and pay attention. That's my point. Why? Because God is emphasizing something that I need to see. You all understand? And so last week, we first met Hene in Genesis 1, verses 29, 30, and 31. And there we saw God bringing attention to Adam and Eve. He was telling them that he is the provider, right? God instructed them. Declared to them that he was the provider. He emphasized that to them, that he was the one who had provided for them in the Garden of Eden. God planted the garden, and then he placed them in the garden, right? Amen. He was the provider. And then he also emphasized to them that it was him who was giving them instructions on how to live. And then finally, we saw him emphasize that everything he had done was good, because he knew the tempter was coming to tempt them that there could be something better. You see? So, behold, Adam and Eve, pay attention so that you know how to live. And you see, they didn't pay close attention, did they? Because as soon as Satan showed up, they didn't really take to heart what God had told them. Okay? That's my concern for all of us and Christians, is that as we read the Bible, don't just keep scriptures memorized and, you know, be impressed with how much to the Bible you know. You need to take it to heart, you see? Why? Because this is a war. We're called soldiers, right? We get to the New Testament, it says you need to put on what? The whole armor of God. That's not just some imagery. God wants us to know that this is a war that we're fighting. And in a lot of cases, Christians are giving ground, compromising, and backing up when God wants us to what? The kingdom of God is to what? Move forward. Press on. And so, that's my burden as we approach these things, is just as Adam and Eve didn't pay attention, didn't pay close enough attention, I want to make sure that we're not doing the same. So today we're just going to look at a few more episodes in Genesis here in the Old Testament where God was emphasizing things with the word hene, and see what it is that we could glean. We're going to see Hene in these three different sections of Scripture. I called it a smorgasbord because we're not trying to read the whole account. But in chapter 6, we're going to see God emphasize corruption. The corruption that sin causes when going unchecked in humanity. Corruption. And then in chapter 8, we're going to see that God alone has to address sins by cleansing. It has to be cleansed. Can't be played with. Can't be toyed with. And Christians need to be aware of that. Don't cuddle it. Don't play with it. Don't let it take root. And you say little cutesy things about it. What's the word nowadays? Have these politically correct terminology, you see, that you're using for what God calls sin. Because it has to be cleansed, even if it's in you. It has to be cleansed. Right? We see that in chapter 8. And then finally, in chapter 9, we see that God, with all of this going on, God still makes a covenant. And I'm going to tell you, covenants are wonderful things. Just to see God makes covenants, you see. God, the God who cannot lie, the God who cannot fail, the God who is omnipotent, the God who is omniscient, the God who is everywhere at the same time, makes covenants. And when he makes a covenant, he can't fail because he has nothing lacking. You get it? With him. So anyway, we're going to try to progress through these three trains of thought, and then we'll be done for the day, okay? So let's dive in. In chapter 6, we see this corruption. This episode occurred, by the way, several generations after Adam and Eve sinned, okay? So we've already looked at Adam and Eve in the garden, and the fact that God prepared them for what was coming, but they sinned anyway, right? And so we are now several generations after they have sinned, and I just want to remind you that sin cannot be contained naturally. Sin cannot be contained by human effort and making vows and gritting your teeth and trying and deciding what you're going to do. Sin cannot be contained. And the thing is that when sin is unchecked, it grows progressively worse. It never gets better. It never gets better. So there's no reason for you to think that you can just cuddle little pieces of sin, little parts of sin in your life and think that you're going to get better. And you know, one of the most typical ways or typical things that people do, you've heard people say, I'm just a worrier. As if that's okay, as if you're going to be fine by saying that. When the Bible clearly says what? Do not worry, you see? And so we all have these little areas that we coddle rather than cleansing them out, rather than getting them out of our life. And so sin will always get progressively worse. It never gets better. So when we come to this word right here, and the reason I say that, you remember verse 5 here, said that God looked and he saw that with mankind, that every intent of the thought of his heart was only evil, what? Continually. Yes. Isn't that awful? Think about every word that God has outlined there. Every intention of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. Now you got to keep that in mind when we're talking about the corruption that God is dealing with here. Now the word corrupt in the Hebrew means to destroy, to disfigure, or to ruin. And so what I'm saying to you is that we need to pay attention to the way that sin contaminates. pay attention to the way that sin ruins and the way that sin destroys. Go to Genesis chapter 6. And you see verse 11? Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. You see how many times he uses that word? Corrupt, 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 corrupted. Because what? He does not want us to miss the fact that the earth is full of this corruption, you see? Full of that which contaminates. Full of that which ruins. Full of that which destroys. When he started it out and said everything he had done was what? Very good. So you see what sin does? And so that's, I want you to get that imagery in your heart and in your mind. And I want you to think. Now, come on, y'all, think with me. Think with me now. Think about the corruption going on today. Things like the corruption among genders. How did it start out in the garden? God made them what? Male and female. What's the corruption today? You see, all of this different terminology, all of these pronouns. You have, this is bizarre. Yes. That someone would say, "You need my pronouns are they and something or other." Or, you know, here you are speaking to a female and they say, my pronouns are he and him, or whatever the case may be. You see, the perversion among genders is massive. The perversion in marriage, think of it. What is marriage anymore? The perversion in the family. What is the definition of a family anymore? Now, we don't have to go back to Sodom and Gomorrah. This is happening what? Right now. Yes. Today, think of the corruption in just the medical area of reproduction. How so much perversion has come into reproduction now in the lab and even cloning. How corrupt reproduction has become. How the corruption in the workplace, the corruption in the government, corruption in the pharmaceutical industry, in the medical field, corruption in the food, corruption in the water, corruption in the air. You see, all these things have been corrupted. Corruption in the plant life, corruption in the animal life, corruption in education, corruption in entertainment, corruption in sports and athletics, corruption in religions. All of these perverted religions that are just proliferating around the globe, corruption in seminaries, corruption in the church, corruption in pastors. And Brother Lee and I were talking just before church started about some awful situation that was pointed out to him, where a pastor is having incest with his own daughter. How many times did you say, brother? It was just awful. 600 times. The sexual incest with his own daughter. This is a pastor. You see what I'm saying? It's everywhere. Yes. You don't have to go back to Sodom and Gomorrah. It's right here. But what? Pay attention. That's my concern. Pay attention. It's in the church. It's corruption with pastors, corruption with deacons, corruption with teachers, corruption with musicians. And the only question is, are you paying attention? Are you paying attention? But I'm not saying this for you to get discouraged and be dismayed. Why? Because God... God always has a remnant. Yes, isn't that wonderful? Regardless of how bad it gets, God always has a remnant. You see verses 9 and 10, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God, and Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Yeah. You see? God always has someone that will represent him and preserve righteousness. Okay. So that's corruption. Everybody with me so far? The next then time we meet in A is in what I call cleansing. And so you got to think about this. The solution for this kind of sinful corruption is godly cleansing or divine cleansing, if you will. So go back to chapter 6. Excuse me. And verse 13, you see, and God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end to all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, there's our word, Hine. Behold, I will destroy them from the earth. You see, cleansing, cleansing. Verse, where is it? 17, I believe. For behold, there's our word again. I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth and to destroy all flesh in which the breath of life, excuse me, to destroy all flesh in which is the breath of life under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall die. Amen. Cleansing. You see, that's when God has to cleanse. And trust me, he's going to cleanse again, isn't he? If the Bible teaches. So don't let your heart get too overly troubled. I mean, I know you should be grieved, as any saint should, about what's happening. But don't let your heart be overly troubled, because God's going to take care. He's going to take care of it. And here's the thing. Some people get overly concerned when preachers and teachers begin to talk about this subject matter. But here's the thing. Godly or divine judgment and cleansing is thorough. It's thorough. Right? Go to chapter 7 and verse 20. Let's see if I can find that. Can you turn with me? Chapter 7 and verse 20. The waters prevailed above the mountains covering them 15 cubits deep, and all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds, livestock, beasts, all the swarming creatures that swarmed on the earth, all mankind, everything on the dry land in which nostrils was, and whose nostrils were the breath of life. He blotted out every living thing that was on the face of the ground, man and animal and creeping thing, and birds under the heaven. They were blotted out from the earth. Only Noah was left and those who were with him and the ark. And the waters prevailed on the earth for 150 days. You see how thorough that is? Yes. Nothing could survive that. Now you need to notice notice the description here. You see, what was it, 150 cubits above the mountains? I think that's what it said. I got to get me a bigger print Bible. I think it's at 100. Is that how much? 15? Okay. So you multiply that times 3, okay, and you get feet. And so what's the point? You see, the water was so high above the mountain that nothing could survive. See, the mountains are the highest point where if anything was going to escape, where would they escape? To the mountain. But when the water covers the mountain, you see how thorough God is? There's nowhere to hide. There's nowhere to hide. You see, God is serious when he tells you to pay attention.
Yes.
Yeah? Amen. Pay attention. And again, for those that get troubled when you talk about things like this, about judgment and God's cleansing, remember Psalm 18:30 said God is perfect in all of his ways. And I believe Revelation 19 says, and his judgments are right and true. Yeah. So I don't think I need to stand here and try to justify God's actions. God is perfect in all of his ways. Yes. And all those who love him can say what?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Yes, we can. We can say amen. Now, as I thought about this, I thought about the fact that often people feel that they have plenty of time. Yeah. People feel they have plenty of time to change their, what do they call it now? They change their sinful ways. And so what people have a tendency to do is procrastinate. Think of all the people that you've talked to, and they keep pushing it off. They think they got plenty of time to change. And so they just push it off until a later time. Push it off until next week or the week after that. They've listened to you. They've heard what you had to say. They even heard the gospel message, but they're not ready to give up their sin yet, you see. Because they assume they got plenty of time. Like y'all know the story of the rich man there with all of, you know, his wealth and his crops and what he had so much that he what did he say? I need to build larger silos so that I can what? You see, store more, because he assumed that he was what? Going to live longer. But the Bible said he was a what? He's a fool. This very night, you're going to die. And so, you see, that's the thing about God's dealing with people. They assume that they got plenty of time. But God's cleansing often comes when it's least expected and when people are least prepared. You know, those of you who have read the account, you know Noah preached for lots of years while he was building that ark. People just think that Noah was building an ark. Noah was preaching. God, Noah was a preacher. He's preaching to people. And you know, you've heard the old story, it's going to rain. Well, I'm sure he was saying more than it's going to rain, but he was preaching. But what did people do? They didn't pay attention. Just like today. Why we got so many empty seats? People not paying attention. Be not dissuaded, though, dismayed. God is what? God is not mocked. God is not mocked. My word goes forth from my mouth and shall not return to me void or empty without accomplishing the very purpose for which I sent it. That's what God says. That's what God says. You believe it? You can stand on that. I know sometimes you feel like you're speaking to people and it's just you tell you it's falling on deaf ears. But the Bible says the word of God is what? Active. And what? Sharp. It cuts deep. And sometimes people's consciences are so dull and so hardened that they kick, the Bible calls kick against it. And harden their heart, like Pharaoh. You know people like that. But see, when you've done your job, you can rest. You can't save anybody. Think of it. Noah, I'm sure Noah had friends. His wife had friends. His sons had friends. You know what I mean? And I'm sure they wanted them to be spared. But it doesn't matter how much you want it. You got to get on the ark. If you're not on this ark, what's going to happen? You're going to die. Yes? And so all the time, I'm getting off track here, but I mean all of the talk today about all of these different ways to God, you can go, you can do this and that. Oh! When Jesus says there's only one way, if you're not on the ark, if you're not in him, you're going to what? You're going to die. You know what I mean? And all you can do is to pray that people will pay attention when you're talking to. You can't make, it's like raising children. You can't make it. You can make that child sit there and you can make them listen to what you're saying, but you can't make them pay attention. Right? We've seen that. Anybody that's raised children or grandchildren or whatever, any person that you've dealt with where you had to try to teach them, you cannot make them pay attention. You can make them listen and look at you, but that's as far. You can't get inside their heart. All right? And so they did not pay attention to Noah's message. And so I just say, when you think about cleansing, remember this. We need to pay close attention that when the corruption is thorough, when the corruption is pervasive, cleansing has to be thorough as well. That's the thing that I believe God wants us to pay attention to. The corruption was thorough, and the cleansing was thorough. You go to chapter 8. That's what I read when we were when we started this morning. And the dove. This is after the flood has killed everything and everybody. And so 150 days, you know, with the water lingering there on the earth. You see verse 11? And the dove came to him. Noah waited before he sent the dove out. And the dove came back to him in the evening. And behold, as I word hine, in her mouth was a freshly plucked olive leaf. You know what? You're paying attention, aren't you? A freshly what? Plucked olive leaf. You're paying attention, which means there's what? There's plant life. Yeah? Something's growing. So Noah knew that the waters had subsided from the earth. Okay? Then he waited another 7 days and sent forth the dove, and she did not return to him anymore. Why? Because there's a place now for the dove, you see, to live outside the ark. You following this? In the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried from off the earth, and Noah removed the covering off the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. Now, I don't know how often you've read that story, but I hope that today you'll read it differently and say, I'm paying attention. I'm paying attention to what God just did. Because what he just did was thorough. Wasn't it? The only people or animals or life that was preserved was in that ark. Thorough. He was thorough. Some of you all may remember that earlier this year we discovered we had mold. in the basement. Y'all remember that? And thanks be to God, the mole was contained to the basement. But the only way to thoroughly address mold is with remediation. You need to get someone there to clean it who knows what they're doing, who has the right solutions and experience to clean it. Why is that? Because any remnant of mold that's left behind will do what? Start to grow again and contaminate the area all over again. It has to be thorough. That's one of the reasons why even when the mold is being addressed, it cannot be brought through any of this area up here. It has to be brought up the stairs and out the door. It contaminates. And so it what? It has to be thorough. That's the way it is with sin. So then God said, don't play with it. Don't dabble with it. It destroys. It ruins. The thief came only to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Okay? So, this cleansing has to be thorough. And then finally, the last thing I said we talk about was covenant. And so, when you think about covenant, a covenant is a divine commitment that God makes to provide, to protect, to preserve, and to save. It's a commitment that God makes. And the good thing is that God always has a remnant. You remember we saw that before? You remember the story of Elijah, I think it was 1 Kings maybe, when Elijah just getting so weary because he felt like he was standing alone, you remember? So he was trying to stand for Christ, and God had to come to Elijah and said, he what? Got more than 7,000. That what? That haven't bowed their knee. And so, you see, God always has a remnant. He always has a remnant. And when Noah saw that he had been spared, Noah worshipped and expressed thanksgiving for salvation. Go back to chapter 8 and verse 20. Yeah. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took some of every clean animal and some of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And when the Lord smelt the pleasing aroma, the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground because of man, for the intentions of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I ever again strike down every living creature as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall never cease. So there he is, worshiping God. Why? Because God has saved him. And there's no question about who saved him. There's no question in Noah's mind about why he's alive. And every Christian in this room knows what that means. There's no question about how you got saved if you are a Christian. It was through Christ. And how does Paul said in Ephesians? By grace. And right? It's by grace, through faith in him. And so he knew how he had been preserved. So now the covenant that God would make was not based on the goodness or the faithfulness or the commitment of people. The covenant that God was going to make was based on those attributes of him. He was going to make this covenant because God is faithful, right? He's going to make this commitment because God is good. Excuse me. Make this commitment because God is the one who takes the initiative here. So the coveted was, I called it unlimited, unconditional, and undeserved. Turn with me to chapter 9 and verses 9 and 10. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "Behold," is our word, hine. Pay attention, Noah. "I establish my covenant with you and your offspring after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the livestock, and every beast of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark, it is for every beast of the earth." You see that? Verse 11, "I establish my covenant." And so, this is an amazing thing here, to see that how massive this covenant was. You see? Not just with Noah, not just with his family, but with what? Everything that was living, that had been preserved. God makes this covenant. He is doing it. Not because people or things were deserving, but because God is good. Amen. Because God is good. So God makes this commitment to what? To preserve, to protect, to provide. You remember what I said? To save them. And that's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. He said, "I establish my covenant." And so the point is this. We need to pay attention that God always takes the initiative to do good. It's God who takes the initiative. Pay attention. The goodness of God is undeserved and unmerited. So it's solely on the basis of what? Grace and mercy. His grace and mercy, which means that we should be grateful and give thanks. Amen. It's not on the basis of anything that we've done, any of our good deeds. It's on the basis of his grace and his mercy. Now here's the hell, my. We'll have to quit here, but here's what it is. It's a marvelous thing. You notice when we were reading through here, the covenant was made with everything that has breath.
Yes.
I believe that's one of the inspirations for everybody that's read Psalm 150. Well, how does it end? Let everything what? That has breath do what?
Praise the Lord.
Because he spared you. That's the only reason you're alive. That's the only reason you have breath. It's because of the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Isn't it good to know where your help comes from? To know that every good and perfect gift comes from what? It comes from above. Pay attention. Don't let this world woo you into some selfish thinking. Remember, Israel got twisted that way, didn't they? And God had to remind you, I'm the one. I'm the one that gives you what? Power to make wealth. And so we all need to remember that. Why did you wake up this morning? Because God had that plan. When he pulled back the curtain of this day, he decided that you were going to see it.
Yes.
Otherwise, you wouldn't have seen it. Yeah. His steadfast love never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are what? New every morning. What? Great is your faithfulness. Yeah. That's all I'm trying. I'm just trying to get us to pay attention. God is good to us. You see, we don't need somebody else's testimony. God is good to us. So anyway, that's kind of the summary there. You see it? pay close attention to the way sin ruins and destroys. And it comes to cleansing, pay close attention that when corruption is thorough, cleansing must be thorough as well. And then finally, pay close attention that God always takes the initiative to do good. He always takes the initiative to do good. Good comes from Him, yeah? Amen. And so, you see, that's why we praise Him. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So despite all the corruption, the messy lifestyle, the sinful thoughts, the words and actions that people have done, despite the fact that of people that we lie to, people that we lie about, and people that we lie with, despite all of the ways that we've dishonored our parents and cheated and coveted, despite all of the ways that we love money and the things of this world, despite of all the ways that we have dishonored and brought shame to the name of Christ, God still made a covenant with us through His Son. Through His Son, you see? So we don't have to keep looking back at the life of Moses. Think about our own soul. In spite of all of the mess in our lives, God still made a covenant. But it was through Jesus Christ, you see, the covenant. Because y'all do know that there were some animals that had to die when Noah was doing his worship, right? And so this covenant that God made with us was made through Him, was made through Jesus Christ. The covenant was made through the Lamb of God that takes away our sin, you see? The covenant was made because the innocent lamb died. Jesus said, I lay down my life for the sheep, didn't he? And Paul said it this way, for while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare to die. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Yes. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Are you paying attention? Are you paying close attention to the exceptional, close attention to the extraordinary blessing of being saved? Are you paying close attention to the extraordinary blessing of being redeemed? Are you paying attention? Have you been saved so long that you've forgotten where you were saved from? Where you came from? Have you been saved so long that you've forgotten the rottenness and the corruption of your past? Have you been saved so long that your heart is growing dull? See, this is a part of your testimony. You remember Paul? Paul never forgot what he was, did he? Whenever he tell his testimony, he would be sure to tell what he was, and to speak of the corruption that was in his life, because what? He didn't want to forget how good God had been to him. God is good. God is good. Pay attention to it. Pay attention to how good He's been to you. You don't need to wait for somebody else to tell you that God is good. You know it if you're saved. You know the mess He brought you out of. You know it. You know it. Just like I know mine. You know yours. Yes? Pay attention. It's a part of your testimony. It's a part of your testimony. So I simply ask you, are you paying attention? Are you paying attention? Why? Because you got so much to thank God for. So much. And again, if you're not a believer, whether here, present, or with us on Zoom, I just invite you to pay attention to what we've said today. There's no other way than Jesus Christ. You have to come to him in faith. You have to place your trust in him. There is no other way, and it's not because of any goodness that you've done and anything that you bring to the table. It's because he laid down his life for you. But you must believe. You must believe. Father, thank you for these few minutes that